We come this evening to question 65 in the Shorter Catechism. What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? But it would be right for us to remind ourselves what the fifth commandment is. That's given in question 63. The fifth commandment is, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon a land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honour thy father and thy mother. It's only at a superficial level that we might consider this to be only domestic. Question 64 helped bring out that this commandment includes or requires the preserving the honour and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. So this commandment, honour thy father and thy mother, it governs every relationship. It governs every personal interaction. It governs your attitude and your response to those who are placed over you in this life, those who rule and govern, whether you appointed, whether you voted for them, whether you appointed them, whether you like them or not. The fifth commandment is, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon a land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now question 65. What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honour and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. That several places mean their different places and relations. The fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honour and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. You perhaps heard the expression, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. But that kind of thinking doesn't apply here. You are not to neglect, and you're not to do anything against the honour. You are to show honour. And you are to fulfil the duties which are required. You must give honour, the honour which belongs to everyone in their different place and in their different relations. You will know what passive aggression is. It's an attempt to assert dominance by withholding. So it is not a violent outpouring of aggression which uses force to dominate, but rather it's a withholding, and it's an attempt to dominate that way by showing your disapproval. And friends, you may legitimately disapprove of the attitudes and the actions of those who are above you in society and those who are below you in society and those who are your equals. You may legitimately disapprove, but you cannot simultaneously dishonour them. Although you disapprove, you must still honour those who are above you, those who are accountable to you, and those who are your equals. We read in Daniel chapter 6, because Daniel chapter 6 describes Daniel's faithfulness in such very difficult and trying circumstances. He honours the king, and yet we see his civil disobedience. He honours the king, but he refuses to obey everything that is commanded in the king's name. And then ultimately, when he has an opportunity in verse 22, he pleads his cause before the king. He says, I'm innocent in the sight of God and before you, O king. I have done no wrong, though he had broken the law. You might also think of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in chapter 3. Think of the words they spoke when they were summoned before Nebuchadnezzar. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We see that they honoured the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, O king. They use a respectful tone. They don't renounce him. They don't say you cannot be king and when you're acting in this way. They honour him, although they do not approve of what he has done or what he intends to do. And so they honour him, and yet they rebuke him. Think also of David. David, who was so concerned not to lift his hand up against Saul, he would not attack Saul because Saul was the Lord's anointed. The Lord had made Saul king. And it was not David's place to remove Saul from being king, even though David knew that one day he would succeed him. What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honour and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. This speaks about the attitude of the heart, because you can curse within your heart. You can curse with a look. We're not to be false. We're not to be flattering. We are to be faithful and to speak the truth. This does not in any way mean that we are to be indifferent to wrongs which are done. We're to challenge robustly, but we're to challenge with humility and not to display contempt. That would be the opposite of honour, wouldn't it? To dishonour is to show contempt, and we are not to show contempt. There's that classic example in church history, isn't there? Andrew Melville. And he confronted James VI. And he said, Sir, there are two kings and two kingdoms in Scotland. There is King James, the head of the Commonwealth, and there is Christ Jesus, and his kingdom, the Kirk, whose subject James VI is, and of whose kingdom not a king, not a lord, not a head, but a member. Melville gave the king his place, but he would not surrender to the king the place that belonged to Christ. Our society lampoons those in authority. The media sometimes lampoons the left, sometimes it's the right. There's different parts of the media who have their own particular favoured targets. And they triumph in their shortcomings and their downfalls. And they delight in gossip. They love to create a new headline and to ridicule. And we are to honour all. And that's not easy. And that's not easy when it's not the way of the culture around us. Because the culture around us delights in dishonouring, ridiculing, and showing contempt. So it's not easy when it's not the way of the culture around us. And it's not easy when those who are placing authority over us act in such an outrageous and ungodly way, personally, and yet, and also publicly, in the decrees and the laws which are passed. So our politicians, for example, champion abortion and show contempt for scripture. Friends, we are called to speak the truth. We're called to rebuke, and yet we're also called to honour. It is not your place nor my place to heap wrath upon them. We're not to withhold the honour due to them, nor the duty of obedience that is due to them. In all things lawful, you cannot say that is a godless man, therefore I will ignore all that he says. That is a godless prime minister or a godless first minister. You cannot say that is not the party I voted for. You cannot say that is not the political perspective that I am happy with. And therefore I will withhold honour and I withhold compliance or obedience and duty. You may have political preferences. And you may like or dislike the actions of individual politicians, or individuals who are raised up in society, positions of great responsibility. But you must honour each and every one. We're not to heap wrath upon them. We're not to withhold the honour due to them. But rather we're to honour and to cry out to God for them, that God might have mercy. You might say, well, why should we honour someone who is not honourable? Well, here's the answer to that question. Why should you honour someone who is not honourable? You're to honour them not because they have earned it, but you're to honour them for the sake of the Lord. An ambassador of state is always dealt with very carefully in the nation, by the nation in which they serve. And sometimes you hear of outrageous things which are done by those who have diplomatic immunity. And what that diplomatic immunity means is that these individuals are granted certain privileges and positions. They're allowed to behave themselves as though they were not under the authority of our government in this land, as an act of respect to the nation from which they come and the people that they represent. So the ambassador may be difficult, the ambassador may be disappointing. But because of the significance of the ambassador's role, the ambassador is dealt with carefully and with dignity. And those who have been raised up to positions of authority in society have been placed there by God. And that is why, and that is how, you are to honour a person even when they are not honourable. It is because they are there representing God. Whether they know it or not, and whether they do it well or not, isn't the issue. You're not to dishonour any person made in the image of God. To dishonour any person is to rebel against God himself. To dishonor any individual, whether they are senior to you or junior to you or equal to you, to dishonor anyone is to rebel against God himself. This is not easy. This is overwhelming, isn't it? This is very searching. Because you probably resent giving honour to those who are not honourable. And you wonder why the unworthy are given such prestige. And you'd rather punish. But it's your duty. And it's not conditional. It is your duty. You're not the judge. Now, of course, it's very incongruous for someone who is given a position of honour to behave dishonourably. But that's their issue. That's not your issue. Your issue is to show honour and respect. Their inconsistency, the absurdity of them behaving the way that they behave, is their issue as they stand before God. In fact, your honouring of them is to be a rebuke. It's to be a challenge. In a sense, your honouring of them is to shame them into recognising the incongruity of the madness of their conduct. Just in the same way as your kindness to an enemy is to challenge and rebuke and shame them. That's what we find in Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You're kind to someone who's acting with hatred towards you, that person will be ashamed. And will find it harder to deal with than were you to fight fire with fire and be equally hateful back to them. So I was preparing to speak on this catechism. I was reminded of how often it seems that when one of the children comes, outraged by the behaviour of a brother or a sister, that it almost always is the case that the one who comes outraged is the one who ends up with the first rebuke. They might be right in what they're angry about or what's wound them up. But so often, when you come outraged to complain about someone, you come in a brash way, you come in an aggressive way, you come in a hostile way, you exaggerate, you overstate, and you're mean. And therefore, although you've come to complain about your brother or your sister, it's yourself that gets the first rebuke. And sometimes actually what the brother or sister has done is overlooked or is forgotten because your outrage is so great that it puts that offence into the shadow. Friends, our responsibility to honour and not to honour is to rebel against God. It says in Romans 14 and verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. They all must give an account to God, just as you must too. Therefore, honour God by honouring those who you encounter in life, whether senior, junior, or your equal. You know, the Lord doesn't lose elections. It might not be the result that you would like. It might not be the result that seems best for anyone. But God is sovereign. And God has his purpose. And we might not understand why he permits it. But if such a person is appointed, then your responsibility is to treat them with honour. The fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honour and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. That means the way we speak about people, the names that we call them, the tone, the gestures, the emphasis, the jokes. Why might God permit dishonourable men and women to be placed in positions that require them to be honoured? Well, sometimes these individuals are appointed because that's what people want. The wicked walk on every side while the vile men are exalted. It's what is desired often, isn't it? Certainly in our own electoral system, that's the way. The majority vote for a certain person or a certain party, that's what you get. But only is it what is desired, so often it's what's deserved. We don't deserve great rulers. We don't deserve wise rulers. Perhaps the Lord permits it as a judgment to the nation for having forgotten God. That we're given those who will not lead well, but rather will trouble the nation further. Perhaps it's permitted to humble our pride as individuals. Perhaps it's permitted because it then reveals God's majesty in his overruling wisdom as he causes the godless to accomplish his own purposes. Daniel reigned, or was given that position of service in under Nebuchadnezzar and then under Darius and then under Cyrus the Persian. He was another oppressor, and yet this oppressor Cyrus the Persian, he took over the Babylonian kingdom. It became a Babylon empire, and it became the Persian empire for his own, for the praise of his own great name. Cyrus liberated all the people who had been brought into exile from their own lands and therefore sent the Jews home, fulfilling the prophecy of God. We don't know why he permits, but we know that he is wise. Maybe the Lord permits certain individuals, certain parties, certain political powers to come into prominence, that we would learn of our need for grace. And that it might be a rebuke to us for our own tendency to abuse the position that we're in and not deal faithfully with those who are junior to us. But the Lord will raise up, but the Lord will also bring down. And that's what David remembered when he was confronted with the problem of Saul upon the throne. He refused to do anything, and he said, rather, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle or perish. He says, I don't know what will happen, but God will deal with it. It might be in this way, it might be in that way, but the Lord will deal with it. And until the Lord would deal with Saul, he would honour Saul as king for the Lord's sake. Now, I've spoken about politicians. It's not only about politicians. It's your duty to deal faithfully with all who have authority over you. and to deal honourably with all those who are junior to you also. What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honour and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. And then much more briefly, question 66. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? The reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity, as far as it shall serve for the God's glory and their own good, to all such as keep his commandment. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? The reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good, to all such as keep his commandment. A promise of long life and prosperity, not an absolute promise, because we're given that condition that as far as it shall serve for God's glory and our own good. It's conditional upon the mystery of his providence. But we also have to remember that prosperity is not to be measured by the world standard. Those who keep this commandment shall enjoy prosperity. Not necessarily health and wealth. And an extended number of years. But the Lord's blessing. James speaks in chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which is promised to them that love him?" Rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. There you go, the promise of long life and prosperity. There's an aspect of that which is enjoyed today. But the fullness of that is to be enjoyed and realised in eternity. And you might understand why it is that this blessing flows from keeping this commandment. Because if you honour those who God calls you to honour, it will mean humbling yourself. You cannot honour those who are senior to you and those who are junior to you and those who are equal with you without first humbling yourself. That's why our society likes to lampoon and ridicule and cast down. Our society is rotten with pride. We all know better. We're all experts. And we despise the folly of others. But friends, if you will honour thy father and thy mother, then your days shall be long upon the land. You shall enjoy the Lord's blessing. Because if you truly honour your father and your mother, that is those junior to you, those senior to you, and those who are your equals, you will be learning to humble yourself. And it will bring you close to God. Because it is not easy. And it's only by God's grace this can be done. And if you are humbled by the Lord, and if you're brought close to the Lord, you're then not grieving the Spirit of God but your persistent sin, and you enjoy his blessing just in the same way as an obedient child is a happy and a carefree child. Because an obedient child is happy and carefree because they're not taken up with the responsibilities that were never theirs in the first place, because they leave them with those to whom they belong. And they carry no resentment. You know, resentment alienates. It's only with hindsight, it's only superficially, rather, we might say that this commandment is domestic. Honour thy father and thy mother. But the home is to be the training ground. And with hindsight, maybe you look back and you wish if only you had better honoured your father and better honoured your mother. Because maybe you look back now with the hindsight of adulthood and you realise some of the trials and some of the pressures that your parents were enduring And maybe they didn't get it all right. And it's not with rose-tinted glasses you're looking. You see the mistakes were made, but you now better understand the trials and the pressures they faced. And you wish you'd given them their place, given them that honour that was due to them. And how much happier you would have been had you kept this commandment. And well then, if with hindsight you can see how that is so, when you consider your own childhood and adolescence, will you not trust the Lord and apply this commandment to yourself today? And show honour and fulfil the duties which belong to everyone in their several places and relations. Amen.